from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Wednesday, April 22, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Governor Josh Stein kicked off the legislative short session Tuesday by introducing his budget proposal. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
The Democratic governor says North Carolina is at a pivotal point, able to choose between cuts to the corporate and individual income taxes or funding key services. Here's Stein.
With a choice between investing in our children's education and the health of our kids versus giving money to corporate shareholders, or between cutting taxes for working families and cutting taxes for wealthy out-of-staters, I choose North Carolina's kids, families, and future every time.
Stein's $35 billion spending proposal increases pay for all state employees by 5% over the biennium. Law enforcement and state nurses would receive 15% raises that Stein hopes will solve long-standing vacancy issues. Teachers would receive an average pay raise of 11% under Stein's proposal. The governor's budget is the first step in a process that will next involve proposals from the legislature. North Carolina hasn't passed a comprehensive budget since 2023. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capitol Bureau.
As the North Carolina General Assembly kicked off its short session, a group of advocates in Raleigh rallied for more school funding. That's in the wake of the state Supreme Court's decision to overturn the Leandro school funding decision. Advocates called for the legislature to fund the multi-billion-dollar Leandro plan despite the ruling and highlighted the challenges faced by public schools across the state, like teacher vacancies and large class sizes. They also criticized the state for funding private school vouchers. The Gaston County School Board approved the superintendent's 26-27 budget request at this week's school board meeting, but a large number of residents came to voice concern about several controversies, including upcoming layoffs, budget cuts, and a board member's incendiary social media post. James Farrell reports.
Residents packed the meeting hall and more than a dozen spoke, expressing frustration with a series of recent budget-related controversies. That included the district's emergency request for $10 million from the county for a mid-year budget shortfall, a proposal to close the W.B. Beam Intermediate School, cuts to programs, and the announcement of around 175 layoffs for next year, which began last week. Here's Brittany Elkin.
Many of us no longer trust that our elected officials are doing what is best for our children. That is why this room is packed.
More residents protested outside and continued calls for board member Todd Kinlaw to resign over a social media post that described Islam as a, quote, satanic death cult. Kinlaw has acknowledged making the post and later deleted it. He didn't comment on the protest during Monday's meeting. WFAE has reached out to Kinlaw for comment. James Farrell, WFAE News.
A neighborhood group in Charlotte is set to receive nearly $2 million in funding to provide housing support and expand economic mobility in the historic West End. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The Lakeview Neighborhood Alliance plans to launch two initiatives. The Economic Mobility Hub will convert a defunct school into a manufacturing, workforce training, and entrepreneurship space. The hub is supported by $700,000 from J.P. Morgan Chase. Wells Fargo has also committed $1.25 million towards the eHub project and Lakeview's Accessory Dwelling Units Partnership Program. That program includes the development of 15 affordable housing units, financial guidance support, and home repairs. The Lakeview Neighborhoods Initiatives aim to train and support more than 200 residents as part of the group's efforts to improve economic mobility. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
The largest bank in the country says it plans to bring hundreds of jobs to Charlotte over the next 2 years. The Charlotte Ledger reports J.P. Morgan Chase is consolidating and expanding into South Park, where it has signed a lease for 145,000 square feet at 1 Piedmont Town Center, where it plans to have about 1,000 employees when it opens in 2028. That's up from 600 who work nearby currently. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to take five floors and put its name atop the building off Fairview Road. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police says the officer involved in a wreck Tuesday morning in South Charlotte has been released from the hospital. The crash happened around 3 a.m. on Pineville Matthews Road and sent all four people involved to the hospital. According to medic, one person had life-threatening injuries. A new art initiative is bringing Latino art out of galleries and into community spaces throughout Charlotte. Julian Berger reports.
The exhibition Ventanas Culturales showcases the work of emerging Latino artists in places like laundromats, bakeries, and community centers. The project is led by Enlace, a Latino nonprofit, with support from an $18,000 City of Charlotte Creative Growth Grant. Enlace's Arts and Culture Chair, Natalia Nettles, says the goal is to make art more accessible.
The gap that we want to address is some of our families and our people sometimes don't have the time or mental space or really space to enjoy art.
The exhibitions will rotate through November to locations such as the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Government Center, Manolo's Bakery, and North Tryon Laundromat. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Over a dozen community advocacy groups will host a discussion today in Charlotte that aims to spotlight residents' challenges with gaining access to medical care. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The discussion aims to share personal experiences of residents who don't have access to care providers or have lost access to services like Medicaid. Corinne Mack is with the NAACP, the group that leads the event.
Someone may think I'm the only person who's going through this, but the fact is that it's not so. And so when you tell your story, it's a way to empower other folks.
The conversation is part of the Last Paragraph campaign that aims to give a voice to those most impacted by changes to the healthcare system, a system that advocates say is under strain amid proposed cuts tied to Republican federal budgets. Reverend Janet Garner Mullins is also behind the campaign.
This campaign brings lived experiences of harm to the forefront. Not as isolated tragedies, but as evidence of a broken system, a system that is failing.
Wednesday's discussion starts at 5 p.m. at Little Rock AME Zion Church. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Due to worsening drought conditions, Union County is implementing stage one of its water shortage response plan. The county's been at stage zero, which limits customers to watering lawns and plants to 3 days a week, while urging residents to conserve. The new level has an additional mandatory requirement for commercial and industrial customers. Any water withdrawn from county hydrants must not be transported outside of Union County for any use other than emergency fire protection or bona fide farm use. The Carolina Panthers are signing a third quarterback who's officially coming home. Will Greer has agreed to terms with the Panthers after playing for the Dallas Cowboys last season. The 31-year-old played at Davidson Day School and was a third-round draft pick by the Panthers in 2019. The Panthers have the 19th pick in the NFL draft, which begins Thursday night. If you've been to a brewery lately or scanned the grocery store cooler shelves, you've probably noticed more cannabis-infused drinks. The THC beverages have become a popular alternative to beer, with sales topping $1.1 billion last year, according to Whitney Economics. But the party could come to an end later this year under a new federal law that bans the drinks along with other hemp-derived THC products. Daniel Larlam wrote about it for the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter and spoke with our Marshall Terry.
I've noticed these cannabis beverages seem to be everywhere. Why have they become so popular, and are they exactly legal?
You know, before 2018, there were some sales under the recreational dispensary umbrella in states that have those, but really it was the 2018 Farm Bill that popularized them. That bill allowed farmers to grow hemp and hemp products to be sold. Part of why they've become so popular as well is that consumer preference for alcohol is declining, and a lot of these manufacturers have found that people are looking for alternatives, THC beverages being one of them. As for the legality, they're legal under the Farm Bill. However, the FDA has not approved THC and CBD additives to food and beverages. So there's a little bit of legal discussion about that.
This law I mentioned, what is it and what would it do exactly?
Yeah, so the funding extension bill that you might remember from last November changed the definitions of hemp in the Farm Bill, and particular the allowable limits of total THC in any given product. What people say it's going to do is really wipe out an overwhelming majority of the hemp products on the market today.
You spoke to some breweries in Charlotte with THC products on their menus. What did they say?
As I said before, you know, as consumer preferences change and alcohol becomes less popular, breweries have found that people are looking for alternatives, and like non-alcoholic beers, which have also become popular in breweries in recent years, you know, these THC beverages give them an option that still has that light social buzz. You know, one brewer told me the intent is for them to be sessionable. You know, you can have one or two in one sitting and not be overly inebriated or anything like that. I also spoke to the president of Noda Brewing, Jacob Virgil. He said that their seltzer brand Happy Bird had accounted for about 11% of the brewery's sales since launching over a year ago.
This ban doesn't take effect until November. What, if anything, can the makers of these THC beverages do?
What I have heard is that kind of anticipation of the ban, retailers and distributors are going to begin winding down their inventory in the next couple of months. Nobody wants to be holding the bag on this, stuck with a lot of inventory that's now banned. But I do know there's hope among the industry for an extension to the ban or some sort of legislative change at the federal and state level. In some states, South Carolina, for example, they're working towards a legislative carve out for the beverages. While it would allow the beverages to stick around, it does change how they're sold and the allowable THC content. I do know one thing particular about the bill is that they wouldn't be allowed to be sold for on-premise consumption, and most of the sales would be restricted to liquor stores.
Okay, thank you for talking more about your reporting.
Yeah, thank you. Anytime.
That's reporter Daniel Larlam Jr.
And for Wednesday, April 22nd, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.